I saw on the slide that you intend to do some testing with a number of flight instructors or pilots in the fall of 2019. Has anybody else flown this besides you in the interim?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Has anybody else flown this?
Yeah, this is actually my friend Sam. He might be in the audience somewhere. There he is. I've flown it with my friend Gil in his RV9, beautiful machine, and myself in the 172.
Okay, and what was the feedback from them regarding the use of this
Can
system?
I ask them? No, my impression was that they liked the equipment. It still has, you know, it's still early stages. This is obviously very much a prototype. It needs to become more succinct, easier to use, in the sense of mounting it. Right now I'm using a binder clip.
So what kind of data do you intend to collect by doing 150 pilots in the fall? What are your parameters you're looking for?
So the communication that I've had is with the EAA proficiency tent. The people that are working on Cloud Ahoy, that's right. Great product, very much designed for sort of the overall life cycle of the entire flight, whereas this is very much more real time and is meant to give immediate feedback. They were excited by it, and they really were interested in, I said, I'm gonna need some people, and they're just like, can we be them? I mean, I think it's not gonna be that hard to get that. What I want out of that testing, though, like I said, we're in this diagram, I've got an intentional in the spring to redesign this. In that time, in that fall testing that I'd like to do, I would like to have machines that are gauging what's happening, that are looking at it and recording a past history of the number of times they go into slow flight, and whether or not they correct, and whether or not they double tap, because it's that feedback that's really closing the loop.
So we only have a couple more seconds, but this would also tell other things, like if you had an engine over speed or a flap over speeds or many other conditions that aren't even related necessarily to loss of control, but important to us.
Yes, calibration gets much more difficult as you add more features, but it's completely possible. Thank you.
We've come to the end of those 10 minutes, but we still have another important 10 minutes. Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you.
And that's
much
for the judges. And that's for the judges to deliberate in front of you. It was important for us after the last several years, and of course, this is the fourth year of the five-year program. Next year, we'll be bringing back past winners to see how they've continued to develop and mature their technologies and their approaches. But we wanted to be able to give you a little bit of inside baseball, to hear how the judges are thinking, hear how they're making that kind of evaluation, because it's also about expanding our ability to do that kind of critical thinking and evaluation ourselves. I want to remind everyone again that the buses are scheduled to continue operation until 11 o'clock, so you do not need to rush out of here. You do get the opportunity to be able to sit, listen to the judges deliberate or argue, as it might be. Jim will come back and give another presentation on the future of flight, and then we'll make our awardees. So judges, we now have 10 minutes for you.
Thanks, Heather. So what do you say we just take them in the order we heard them? Does that make sense? And I guess I'll kick this off with a question for Dave and Dick, because it is the controversial item of all of the contestant entries. Got to share with you that Dick was a very big proponent of the feel flight grip, whereas Dave was not. And did you get convinced tonight, Dave, that it was a little better? No, you're still not there. What'd you think?
I spend a lot of time when I was teaching people to fly, to teach them to fly in trim, and to teach them to fly with two fingers and their thumb on the stick, and to feel the airplane. And I think that the stick has some value if you want to do tracking tasks, but that's not what I would like to teach when I'm teaching them to feel the whole airplane through subtle contact. And I think that maybe, you know, he said that if you know where your ring finger is, I don't know which finger, you know, when I held that stick and it shook on me, I went, oh.
Dick, I know you don't agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that. I still think that it has a lot of merit. The idea of flying with two fingers, I agree. The idea of flying with a light touch, absolutely agree. When you're approaching to land, I feel that you have usually a better grip on the stick, not a death grip on the stick, but a better contact grip that you would in most instances on approach and landing. The areas that we normally accept to be critical areas of loss of control, that there's a high probability that you would get the input signal that you want, in addition to the fact that he has the visual and audio warnings at the same time, covering the bases.
I got to admit, I was more in Dave's camp before I heard the presentation, and I had looked at this over the last few years with all of you, and what I heard tonight kind of gave me some reason to believe I should go fly it. The idea of having VX and VY on there has always bothered me as more than necessary and as a distraction from the warning of loss of control that we're interested in. But he explained it as a trending indicator too. If you're getting a VY buzz and then a VX buzz, you're getting slower, and it's a trending indication, which is something I'd like to see in practice and in operation to evaluate. And I think Dick's right in the sense that the two fingers on the stick is a great way to fly, except it's probably not the way you're flying during takeoff and landing, which is where we're having a lot of accidents.
How many times have you had a student where you're coming in to land and you tell them, are you trimmed? And they go, yeah.
And you say, they got a death grip on the stick. Yeah.
So again, I like the subtle feel.
I agree with you on the trim thing. I've done a little instructing many, many years ago, so and I understand that. But if, in the case where it is out of trim, they have to have a firm grip, and they would get that signal, even if it's out of trim. At least the point is that they would get the signal because they had a contact grip.
So you can see we have totally no agreement on this. So we need to move to the next one. So
okay.
How about the enhanced scenario-based training? Pat, you want to talk about that one?
This one seems like it could be a good idea. I look at the enhanced scenario one a little bit like the situational awareness one. The big difference in both of them, I think they still have a long way to go, but the enhanced scenario-based training really requires a lot of hardware that I think is difficult to put in the airplane. So we did some of that at the Eagle Flight Research Center, and I just don't think it's trivial. The last one, the situational awareness training, that is difficult, but it's math and it's software, and I think that is easier to implement. So my concern with the VR glasses is that the head tracking part and the attitude part is actually quite complicated to install in an airplane.
Well, I just wanted to say that both of those I had real good feelings about, mostly because they're looking at it something that's not a gadget. And it's good that we're opening up and thinking in more varied ways rather than just always a gizmo.
My only comment is that, you know, again, just like the next one, is there a negative training effect that we impart in that? I know that it's to try and enhance situational awareness, provide realistic scenarios similar to loft type training and things like that, but you're doing it in a less complex environment. My big concern though is, you know, in training the instructor has got to be very well trained to ensure that there is no negative training transfer in the student when they're running these scenarios. And I think it's the instructor who's going to be the success part of this, not necessarily the student.
And you're talking for both the enhanced scenario-based as well as the enhanced envelope exercises, both of those?
That's a whole different story. Yeah. I'm still concerned about that.
Yeah. Well, on the enhanced envelope exercises, I couldn't help but think that I would have liked to have seen more connection between the particular exercises they chose and what they're addressing. But to me, a lot of those are exercises that aren't much different than turns about a road. And, you know, when we maneuver at low altitude, when there's winds out there, you have to deal with it.
I fully agree. And that's, I mean, I understand, you know, exploring the envelope, you know, 60-degree banks. I mean, you know, that's great, but I'm not sure that I want a 50-hour pilot learning how to fly that airplane in 60-degree banks, because they're going to yank and bank that trying to catch that center line again. And we've seen that over and over and over again by very experienced pilots, even up through multi-engine airplanes, trying to capture and crank the airplane. And
yeah,
I'm
but
just
wouldn't you say it's better to yank and bank than to stick the rudder in and try to...
Well, I agree, but it's better to abandon the whole darn thing, you know, and let's go do it again and get it all wrapped up nice, rather than trying to salvage a bad situation at 200 feet, like happened in Aspen, Colorado, and rolled that airplane 50 degrees bank, dragged a wing, and killed 18 people. So those are my concerns. I mean, I understand exploring the envelope, but not imparting the knowledge to use the envelope to salvage bad situations.
How about the buzz ball?
So I like the buzz ball. That's the one that I would use today. I mean, that's the one if I were in a champ and I had it or had one of my students do a DIY $50 kit, I would use that today. The expanded envelope exercises, a lot of people do that. So I think reaching out to an audience that doesn't do that would be good. But the buzz ball to me is the one out of this list that I would say tomorrow if I were in a champ, I'd stick it in there for training purposes. I don't know if it's really fabulous in an emergency situation, but I think that training of getting that seat of the pants feel literally would be worth it.